It's everything Queensland footy.
Good bold football from the Brisbane Lions.
That's a big one for the Suns.
This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.
Yes, indeed it is, and what a weekend of footy for the Queensland teams. Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure. My name's Nick Davis, joined as always by Jack Fulham and Hello. Will Ralston. And look, we can't not start with just the disaster at the MCG. The Lions blowing a 42-point lead, going down to the Tigers by 7 points in front of 39,000. That hoodoo that we really tried to bury, it just keeps going. Now, well, I won't say it's been since 2014. I'll just say it's been 2,543 days since the Lions have won at the MCG. Jack, it was one of the games of the season, but the Lions have a few problems that they really need to fix quickly.
Well, they do. Well, it's just all about stringing together a four-quarter performance for the Lions, because their first half of footy, especially in attack, was just incredible. Joe Danaher stood up. Charlie Cameron was buzzing around. Eric Hipwood has finally looked like he's found some form. He kicked four goals. So there were plenty of positives in the first half of the Lions. And even throughout the second half, there were some guys that stood up. But the fade-out was, it was brutal.
Well,
and it was brutal watching it on TV. And our man Will was down there getting a first-hand account. And how are you holding up, buddy?
Cool. I'm none from 12 now at the G, which is similar to the team's record in the last 8 years. I think I looked up our fifth last win at the MCG was the 2003 grand final.
Does this also
feel foreign?
Does this also make you sad that the Lions have missed a golden opportunity with the grand final being held in Brisbane and Perth the last 2 years?
I don't necessarily see it that way. Like, obviously we have, but you can't guarantee when you're going to be a good finals team. We just happened to, like, West Coast didn't win the granny last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
make a point.
I think we were a bit young and inexperienced in 2019 and 20, and this was the year where it felt like we were finals bound, we were hardened, we had experience. And at quarter time and half time, I thought, okay, this is our statement game. This is the game that's going to propel us in the final month of footy. We're going to shut up all the critics. We're going to register a big percentage boosting win. We could eye off the top two. Everything looked great. And then just bit by bit by bit, it was a death by a thousand cuts that second half. And that third quarter was as big a blowout in Richmond's direction as the first quarter was in ours.
Yeah, you were being dismantled just piece by piece. And I want to take you to what Mal Michael, the three-time premiership fullback, tweeted out just the other day. Now, he's gone, and he doesn't really say very much on Twitter either. He's not a vocal man.
No.
He says, "I'll say it again and keep saying it until it sinks in. Brisbane can't defend. Without a defensive mindset, they will unravel against the better teams. Defence wins premierships." Now, looking at the Lions' backline, they've been a very good unit, but one thing you could definitely say about them is they're not a very menacing outfit. And when Brandon Šarčević was ruled out before the game, I all of a sudden became very concerned, because I've never loved the Tom Lynch-Harris Andrews matchup. And I will say the Chief had a pretty solid game on Lynch, had a couple of big one-on-one victories, but it really sort of boiled to a head when there was a bomb inside 50. Lynch and Harris won out in the square, and Lynch just ragdolled him on that wave of momentum. And the backline issues with the Lions, they're still not fixed, and I just don't know what to do about them.
Yeah, Šarčević going out was a disaster, a full-blown disaster. And Coleman had the game of his life.
He didn't
had one of the better games of any player from any side this season, I thought. But yeah, Noah Cumberland's not kicking five goals if Brandon Šarčević is out there. That's the reality of it. And I think in the one-on-ones, I don't think we were too bad. Our team defence is not restricted to the back six itself, I don't think. I don't think you can blame Noah Annsworth for some of the goals necessarily. It kind of feels like it comes from out of our forward line with such ease. It's just a slingshot that feels like we have no control over whatsoever. It just, like turnstiles, just enters our defensive 50 and really easily too. They just hit up leading targets and there's always space. It just felt inevitable in that second half. Every scoring chain just felt like a goal was coming.
Now, one of the big disasters of that second half, which I'm going to say that the Brisbane Lions match committee, their match selection committee, is going to have to be put under the microscope, because 2 weeks in a row, they have played Darcy Fort as the substitute, a big lumbering ruckman. They lost Zach Bailey, one of their fastest, dashing players that can go through the middle, can play at half forward.
Can play defensively forward as well.
yep, ticks numerous boxes. And, you know, he goes out of the game with a rib sternum injury. Darcy Fort comes in, who's a one-trick pony, can play in the ruck, can maybe go forward and take a mark, but you just lose so much dash and drive through the middle of the ground. And it happened last week where Fort came in for Dan Rich, and it didn't kill him on that occasion, but I really question the wisdom of playing a ruckman as your sub.
I'm trying to figure it out myself because it feels like we've been burned before. We saw in the finals when we lost a big man in McStay, and then in the second final we lost Payne, was it, that we had to sub out?
Yep.
And so in that scenario, if you're subbing out Jack Payne and you're bringing on Jackson Pryor, I can see how you have an issue. But when you're subbing out Zach Bailey and you're bringing on Darcy Fort, my God, it was just not what we needed.
Chris Fagan said last night that his thinking behind it is if Oscar McInerney goes down with an injury, then it leaves them too exposed, which I don't necessarily
Danaher
agree
with. Danaher can go into the ruck.
Danaher can go in the ruck. McStay can go down back. They can shuffle the deck, you know, with some pinch hitters. I don't think it's as big an issue, but obviously the Lions feel different about it, but I thought it really cost them in the second half, especially as Richmond started to get a roll on.
Yeah, absolutely. I get the thinking behind it as well. And there's no perfect sub. I mean, if Mark Blixarv wasn't one of their best players, he's the kind of guy that you would have as a specialty sub. But you don't have the luxury of playing a specialty sub. And Fort's just not it, unfortunately. Either play him or don't. And yeah, we desperately missed Bailey once he went down. We needed some buzz. We needed a spark because we needed to keep up our own scoring and we couldn't do it.
Jack, there was another thing that you brought to my attention earlier in the week, and the MCG hoodoo appears not to be the only one that the Lions are currently dealing with.
We like to frequent the Brisbane Lions fan forums. We like to think of ourselves as Nuffies.
We're entrenched in the community.
Yeah, so we get in the trenches with the Nuffies. And a common theme that I've seen recently on Brisbane Lions fan forums is that the Fitzroy-inspired away Guernsey is cursed.
It's cursed.
Well, they reckon it's cursed. So I went to AFL tables, as I usually do, and did a fair bit of research on this one because it was actually quite hard to put together. I had to look at highlights packages. I probably spent about
I spent about
2 hours of, you know, time that I should have been doing something else researching this stat. And it's a shocker. Since 2017, in the Fitzroy-inspired away Guernsey, the Lions are 11-31 since 2017.
From 42?
Yep, 11 from 42.
You're kidding me.
That's in the Fagan era, which,
okay,
you know, the first 2 years were a scratch, but the last, 4 years have been very successful footy. I think the Lions fans might have a case.
Okay, because obviously, for those unfamiliar with it, the contention from the Victorian and former Fitzroy fan base is they want more involvement. They want more of a Fitzroy voice at the table. And this inspired Guernsey has at least given them something to sort of play for. In the same way that the Swans play in the South Melbourne jumper when they play down in Melbourne. But
you're also paying homage to a club that went 1-21 in its last season in the league. So it's look, it's inspired by mediocrity.
Oh, wow. Well,
okay.
He's really hurt our Victorian listeners here. But Queensland, half of the people in Queensland here wouldn't know who Fitzroy is. So I'll let you get away with that, Jack. But you're right. You can't argue with the numbers there. Well, regardless.
My solution, more 96 Bears. Let's 96 Fitzroy.
I knew there'd be a crowbar agenda in here. Well, look, here's the situation for the Lions. 3 games to go. The top two isn't completely out of the picture, but God, it's going to be a stretch.
But before we get too doom and gloomy, I think if we sat here this time last week and said we're going to lose to Richmond by 7 at the MCG, I actually would have been quite content.
Okay.
I came into the last 4 weeks thinking this was the one we were the least likely to win of the remaining four.
Mm.
And the bookies agreed we were underdogs going into that game. We're favourites in our next two, which I think is just about right. I think we will beat Carlton at home. I think the Saints at Marvel isn't as big a threat as Richmond at the G.
Agreed.
And then Melbourne at home. We don't know what the form is going to look like by then, but I think we're a big chance in that as well, just given it's at the Gabba. So there's a big chance we'll win our last three and find a top four spot. If we win all three, we're guaranteed a top four spot because Collingwood plays Sydney.
Correct.
So if we make the top four, stranger things have happened. It's just, It's just the way we lost it to Richmond that I think has bummed a lot of Lions fans. But this season's by no means over, and I just wanted to kind of make that point.
Well, the season's also not over for the Gold Coast Suns, who, do you believe in miracles? Look, they nearly blew it right at the end. I was sitting there watching the last quarter thinking, okay, so who are they going to have to play next week? All right, yeah, they could win. And then all of a sudden that lead just started to evaporate. And I thought they were a kick away from their season being essentially over. So they got the job done, a three-point win over the Eagles, 37 points it was in the second quarter. Jack, you were there with the Triple M team. It was a scrappy affair, but they showed some mettle to hold on right at the end.
They really did. I've got to admit, the first half of this game was, and like, it was actually quite high scoring, but it was as low intensity a first half of footy I've seen this year. Two sides that, you know, an AFL season is long, and especially looking at a few of the Suns players, like especially Big Witsy running around going, you look sore, mate. You look really sore. But the second half was an absolute firecracker. And the Eagles, to their credit, a team that's won, what, two games all year.
They played good footy.
They played good footy. They took it right up to them. Isaac Rankin probably added maybe a zero to his next contract. He was fantastic. Kick four.
I want to talk about his goal, that set up with Tuke Miller. Was that a set play? Because it looked perfectly executed if it was.
I don't think enough has been talked about this. Isaac Rankin, late in the second quarter, takes a mark just on the 50, just out of Isaac's range. He stood there like a statue for the full 30 seconds and waited for the umpire to call play on. Tuke Miller, that whole time, was like about 5 to 10 metres off his hip. Umpire calls play on. West Coast man on the mark charges at Isaac Rankin, as just about anyone would do. Rankin gives the handball to Tuke Miller. Runs on. Tuke Miller goes back over the top to Isaac Rankin. Rankin runs into 30, you know, close to the boundary, and kicks a goal. And I think it's a set play, and it looked fantastic.
I want to agree with you, only because Miller didn't move. Kind of like a point guard posted up. He didn't move from his spot, just pivoted hands again. It was so well executed, but you're right. Rankin, his status is growing. Now, we know he's still unsigned, and Will, down in Melbourne, I know that Essendon's taking a look at him because the Bombers really need a pressure forward. But
yeah,
the more I see this kid grow and grow and grow, I really don't think he's going to lead the Suns.
I would certainly hope not, because he feels like he's part of that cultural shift. I certainly didn't think King was going to re-sign, and here we are. So I don't know. The fact he's left it this late makes me worried. But I really, really hope he sticks around, because he is one of the pieces in the puzzle that looks promising going forward.
I think that if Rankin goes, he goes only home to South Australia.
That's a more understandable decision.
I feel
decision.
Like that's the only, the Crows or Port, and probably most likely the Crows, will be the only place he leaves to. Happy to be proven wrong. But,
no, absolutely.
I'd very much like him to stay.
Well, plenty more positives to come out of this game as well. So
big Marbot Chol.
Mabior Chol, 5 goals, takes in game 50 as well, takes his tally to 43 for the season. Now, I don't know if any of us could have predicted him kicking a 50-goal season coming across from the Tigers. He's now recruit of the year in my mind. He has been truly sensational.
Yep, that's a fair call. And Levi, too, off the scrap heap. And they kind of cobbled together as a makeshift forward line. They have been so good for the Suns. But it's not just the goals with Marbury. It's goals at big times and also some massive clunks.
His ability to take a clunk, standing at about, what, he's about two...
He's 201
centimetres. 201 centimetres. That's an imposing target. And once he's joined again by Ben King next year, Gold Coast fans, seriously, get excited.
Now, another bloke that stands at 201 centimetres that Gold Coast fans can get excited about is young Mac Andrew.
How did you rate his debut?
Made his debut on the day. He was quiet, did a few nice things. He's got a fantastic right foot, laced a few balls over 45 metres that just looked gorgeous. He's going to be better for the run. He was rotating on opponents the whole game. I think in the VFL he's just been set with a, you know, you play on this bloke for the whole game, away you go. So he'll be better for the run, but a few pre-seasons to bulk up. He is still very skinny, 74 kilos.
Oh, boy.
And 201 centimetres. So he's the slim reaper.
I love
but
that.
he has such a bright future, and, you can't wait to see what he develops into. And just from the Suns, they've blooded some fantastic players over the last few years.
Well, given their horror run of injuries this year, and especially across their half back line, they've been forced to make these changes. But that's almost the stuff you want to see. They've brought the kids in, they've got some game time into them, and they're all going to be better for it. Young Ace, he played as the medical sub this weekend, and he's going to be better for it as well. So 2023 is going to be an incredible year for the Gold Coast, but 2022 isn't over. Mathematically, it is still possible, and will.
Still a chance.
I've been sitting down with the AFL ladder predictor, and I'm, like Dr. Strange, I've been running every single possible scenario. And tell me if my predictions are relatively okay here. So the Suns will play the Hawks this weekend down at UTAS Stadium. Now, they beat them by 67 points in Darwin last time. Honestly, it just depends on what Hawthorn lineup show up. They're good down in Tassie, but there's two more games that need to keep the party going for the Suns, and tell me if I'm within my rights to think that this is a possibility. Port Adelaide need to beat Richmond at Adelaide Oval.
Yep.
Okay.
They're currently favourites for that game.
They are currently favourites. Frio need to beat the Dogs at Marvel.
Yeah.
Yep.
I could see the heave.
Okay. It's both. It's within the realm of possibility. We're feeling good about this, and then so we move on to the week after, and this is what it could all boil down to. Let's say this all goes through.
Pumping North by 800
No,
points.
Not yet. We have one before that.
Okay, sorry.
Hold on. I know how much you want to stick the boot into North Melbourne, but we're not quite there yet. Geelong at Metricon Stadium. Ooh. This could prove to be the biggest game in the Gold Coast Suns' history. Imagine that. The Gary Ablett Cup. A heaving Metricon Stadium. Geelong due to lose a game at some point. Maybe leave some players at home. They've got top spot on lock. That's okay. But the Suns could pull off one of the upsets of the competition in recent memory and claw their way into finals. I just wanted to let that sink in for a bit. You're getting chills, aren't you?
Absolutely not over.
It's not over.
We're getting into Mighty Duck level script writing.
Yes, it is, and I love it.
I love it, yeah.
Look,
they need a few things to go their way, but as you said, none of them are nuts. You know, you're not relying on North to knock off Collingwood. You know, it's like things that are all in the realms of possibility. And obviously, they need to win all three. That's the non-negotiable.
Yes.
And beating Geelong at home, that's the toughest assignment currently in footy in terms of home games. So that's the one, as you said. It's going to come down to them. But I think, I still just got a feeling. Like I had a feeling in the Richmond game when Noah Anderson was 5 minutes away from kicking his goal. You just feel like there's something building. And I don't know if it's going to be this season, but it's not over.
Well, I got my PDF of my membership in my email this week, so it's
He's
all coming together.
Finally signed up.
Love it.
Best $20 I ever spent. Well, that's been Triple M40's Northern Exposure for another week. Both Queensland teams still on the hunt. Best footy state going around at the moment.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, discounting Victoria, but anyway.
Victoria doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count. Doesn't count at all. No, we've done it. Triple M rocks footy, Northern Exposure rocks Queensland.